1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan sitting in for Joe for the next while. It was a great weekend weather-wise for the last few days, and a lot of people headed to beaches, headed to waterways, jumped into the water, which was great, but you do have to be careful. Paul O'Dwyer, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, how are you, Paul? Because you had a very traumatic day yesterday.
It was very, very traumatic. To be honest, a bit emotional and very tired. I didn't sleep much last night.
Take us back. You were on Bunmahan Beach in Waterford.
That's right. Yeah, I was down there with my family. And then later on the day, my brother and mother turned up as well. So we're just enjoying ourselves on the beach and the paddling. I was out paddling with my son in the water. We were just kind of crashing into the waves. And I just heard a young fella crying out for help. So I just went straight out to help him.
And was this a very young child?
He's around 10, I imagine. There's two children. There's a boy and a girl.
Okay. And were they both in trouble, do you think?
Oh, they were, yeah. They're out of their depth, completely sure. When I got out there, I was completely out of my depth as well, so.
Okay, so you swam out to help. What happened then?
Well, I swam out. I got out quite quickly out to him. And I had to make a decision which child to go to. So I went to the child that was nearest to me, and he was the one who was crying out for help. So it was a tough call now, to be honest. When I was trying to help that poor chap, I was just thinking about the poor girl the whole time on her own. It wasn't nice.
Yeah, that's Sophie's Choice, like the classic Sophie's Choice. But you were you able to grab onto the boy?
Yes, I tried to explain to him I was going to kind of put him on his back, and I was going to try to pull him in, and then I was going to go back out for the girl. But sure, we were getting nowhere. We were just basically staying in the one spot. The tide was pulling us out.
And what state was he in at that stage?
Not sure. He was very traumatized. He was very scared, and which I can understand completely. He just went into survivor mode. Like he panicked. Sure, we're all panicking, and he just climbed on my back, and he was trying to stay up that way. But he was trying to keep him to stay on his back rather, because he was dragging me down and he was going down, and sure, I couldn't touch the bottom at any stage. So I got back up and I just tried to do the same thing again with him and push him along. And then I got to a stage where I could touch my toes off the bottom. And I told him that I would lift him up in the air and throw him forward. And I keep doing that until we get in land. So that's what I did. I threw him forward and I swam to him again. And sure, I went to throw him again and I couldn't find my feet on the bottom at all. So we were struggling again at that stage. And luckily enough, my brother came out. My wife seen what was happening from the beach, and he ran out to help. And basically, he came at the very right moment, because I was exhausted at that stage, and so was the poor chap. And God only knows what the little girl was, how she was. I don't know how she stayed up.
And they were able to pick up the little girl?
Well, luckily enough, my nephew was on a bodyboard. He was out in the water with his mother, and she told him to go out and try help. And only for her dead bodyboards, there would have been three people being brought in drowned, because I couldn't see how he could get back into land or just getting sucked out.
God, that's just terrifying. And what age was your nephew?
Oh, he's only 10 years of age. He was very brave. Danny's his name. He was very brave, only for him and his mother. I don't know if any of us would have gotten back in, because it just didn't seem to be any hope. People are trying to come out to help us, but they weren't able to get out. It was scary, very scary.
Okay, so you're in the stage now. So your nephew has the bodyboard out. He was able to help the little girl.
Connor was there. He helped the boy.
Your brother was able to help the boy. Yeah. And what about? Were you okay at that stage?
I was completely spent at that stage. As I said to Connor, I have to take a breath here. I can't move. So I just lay on my back for a little bit and try to I looked up then, I tried to steady myself to look up, see where they were, and they were another 20, 30 feet away from me. I was after drifting out, or they drifted. And I just thought to myself, I wasn't going to get back in. And then I just seen a ball in the water. So I swam over to that. It was half punctured, but sure, it helped keep me afloat until Julie came out. And once I could rest on the bodyboard, we were okay.
Somebody came back out with a bodyboard to you?
Well, Julie was in the water with Danny at that stage. But it happened so fast, and there's even people around us who just didn't know what was going on. They didn't think, you know, it was hard to alert anybody or get any help because the noise of the water and the waves are choppy. It was tough going.
Was there many people in the water at that stage?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there was loads of people in the water. See, we're so far out, but if you looked across level, 50 metres away, it was only up to people's waist. But we were as well over our heads.
And were all those other people totally oblivious to what was happening with you and with these children?
They just didn't hear us or see us.
God, you were lucky, weren't you, that your own family saw and spotted what was going on?
Yeah, I was looking at my wife now. She's seen that I was swimming out to her child, and then she kind of noticed that my head was going under and that child's head was going under. And I was lucky Connor was brave enough to come out.
And that 10-year-old Danny, that is that's amazing that he had the presence of mind to keep it together and come out.
He was unbelievable. Yeah, funny for him, we wouldn't have come back in. Him and Julie, and Connor.
And Julie is another.
Julie is Danny's mother. Yes,
Danny's
sister-in-law.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you were spent. You were hanging on to the ball, and it was Julie actually that made it out again with a bodyboard to bring you back in.
I wouldn't have made it back in by myself at that stage. I was so exhausted. So lucky Julie came out to me. And we just floated in the water for ages. We just said we stay until somebody comes to rescue us. We were in no panic. We weren't worried at that stage because Connor was bringing in the kids, and I don't know how he actually got me in because the current was just sucking us out, you know. So we just said we'd stay. But then a swimmer, one of the sea swimmers came by. He helped us back in with another man. I don't know his name. He came in from the shore, and we all kicked away back in. So.
And would you be a decent swimmer, Paul?
I'd hold me on, I'd hold me on, yeah.
And this time, like, was it a riptide? Like, it just seems to have been extraordinary that people a few feet away were fine, and this was pulling you out at this speed.
Pulling us out, yeah. And it was at the stage where the tide was starting to turn. Say, if it could have been 10, 15 minutes later, we could probably go to get back in, no bother, you know? It's hard to know. I don't know the waters, so it's not my... I don't know.
And would you swim there often? This Bunman Beach?
We'd normally go to either Woodstown or Dummerys. We just went out there because the kids liked the waves, and we said we'd bring the bodyboards, so something different.
Yeah, God, it was something different. All right, that's some tale, Paul.
It is, considering the fact that there was hundreds upon hundreds of people on the beach and there wasn't any lifeguards on duty. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
they're on duty in Dummerys and Tramore, so why couldn't Bunman have theirs on duty?
Now, I know our producer actually looked into this, and we're told that a lifeguard service is provided at Ardmore, Bunmahan, Clonee, Dunmore East and Tramore. That cover is generally provided, it says here, at weekends in June and daily from July and August. But see local signs for details. But you're saying there you didn't see any lifeguards yesterday.
There's no lifeguards, and there's no flags up. You know the way you normally know, stay within the flags, etc. That wasn't there. There's nobody there.
And was there signs for you saying that no flags up? But were there any signs indicating that it was dangerous to swim there, or that there were dangerous currents there?
No, I didn't see any anyway. They weren't obvious to me. So,
you sound fairly shook after it, Paul.
I was now, yeah. I'm just thinking about it since last night. You know, it's hard to get out ahead. How I could have done things differently. Should have called people at the very beginning, you know. And then that poor little girl, leaving her on her own, like, that was tough.
Yeah, that would play on your mind. You didn't know those children, though, did you? They were strangers.
No, I didn't know them at all. Strangers, yeah.
And did you meet their parents when you came out?
I didn't, because I was a few minutes later getting out, and I went straight over to Connor. He was laying on the sand. The scene was, you okay? And so by then it was kind of after separating the whole thing.
God,
I didn't get to see him.
They owe you a huge debt, Paul, because you know, God only knows if you hadn't seen them or heard that little boy calling out at that moment.
Yes, I know, but sure, in one way, you'd be always thinking, could I do more, you know? But I was just lucky that Julie and Danny and Connor came out. And they were lucky too. So.
Did anything like this ever happen to you before?
No, not really. Years ago, I helped one of my friends in the river. He got a bit of difficulty in the river, but sure, that was only five, 6 meters swim rather than swimming backwards, basically, with the situation yesterday.
Would it put you off going into the water again?
No, not at all. It put me off going back to Bonmanna now, because I find Dunmarese and Woodstown, you know, where you stand in the water, there's no rip currents or anything, you know. It's a lot calmer setting, like.
Yeah, I suppose the thing is that when you get the excitement of those waves, other issues can come with that.
Yeah. But see, I suppose what I think what happens to those two small children is that they're over at that area 50 metres away where the water's only up to their waist, and the tide probably brought them into that section where it was too deep, you know, and they couldn't get out of it. That's the only way I can see how they managed to be so far out and such bad trouble, you know.
So quickly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, as you say yourself, that once the children were being brought in and you decided to relax for a minute, that it only took a minute for you to end up way far out.
Yes, it's because all I was doing that day is just looking up at the sky, just trying to catch my breath, you know. But I honestly don't know how Danny and Connor got the other kids in, because the pull on the water is fierce, you know.
And how were you all afterwards? I mean, like when you all kind of debriefed yourselves on the beach.
That's right, it was as white as a sheet, and my kids were giving out to me for going out. And sure, I just said, I just hope some other adults would do the same thing if you were in that situation, you know.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional here. I can't.
I don't blame you one bit. I mean, the idea of what might have been.
It was a good outcome, you know, thankfully.
It was. And you know, you played a part in that. So
I played a small part. But.
You know, did this happen in the midst of all this? I'm just imagining the beach, a really busy beach and a really lovely Sunday. And other people just carrying on with their business didn't actually realise that there was this, you know, almost a tragedy in front of their eyes unfolding.
Yeah, because my wife says she was at the back of the beach and you could see more. But once you come up to the water's edge, she says you wouldn't realise anything is going wrong out there, you know.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is, Paul, well done. Well done to you. Well done to Danny. Well done to Julie. Well done to Connor. I mean, you know, you averted what could have been the most. We could be a huge news story today, a terrible tragedy, and that is not the story we're hearing now. So
I just hope the kids are grand, and just sorry to that little girl. I couldn't get to her. She must have been in a terrible state, you know.
Well, she's safe, and that is the main
thing. That's the main thing.
Okay, I think I've got another caller. Paul, I'll let you go if you unless you want to hang on there, and I'll see what are. Do we do? We have Maura.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah. So hang on there for a moment, Paul. Maura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
What Paul was describing there brought back memories for you.
It did. Yeah, I had a situation that happened to me when I was a young teenager. I went into a pool and I almost drowned. And what I didn't realise was the weight of the water or the strength of the water. And water is something you have to be so careful around. It could happen very easily and very quickly. My friends were on the sideline and they were laughing because they didn't realise what was happening. They kind of thought it was funny. Now, they weren't being mean or anything. They just didn't realise. But one of them copped it, I was in trouble.
Describe what happened. What age were you, Maura?
I was 13.
Okay, and you were, there was a gang of you at the pool?
Gang of us at the pool, and what happened was I went into the water, I was unable to swim, but I thought it'd be okay, and I pushed myself away from the wall, and I pushed myself, I went much further than I had anticipated. And then I just began to panic. And it's that sense of panic that creates a problem as well. So I began to sort of sink. And then they thought this was just a bit of fun. There were a lot of people in the pool. There was a lifeguard. There was quite a number of people. And one of my friends realized I was in trouble. And she came in to sort of bring me back to the wall. And the lifeguard, I don't know how he saw what was happening in the pool was so crowded, but he did. But the fright I got, and I just felt for that man who was speaking to you, Katie, because actually what happened to me was later that evening, I went into a kind of a shock. And I just feel that man, shock can often be delayed. So that's what I felt when I listened to him.
Yeah, and you can hear it in Paul. You could hear it in Paul's voice there.
I could, yeah. And I just think it's so important that you cover this topic, because what happened to me then was I learned to swim. I was determined to learn to swim, but I can't be near anybody in a pool. I don't mess with anybody. I don't like any messing because people don't realise the power of water and the strength of it. And things can happen like within seconds, really. So if ever I am near water at a beach, I'll always check to see if there's a lifeguard. I always talk to people, even if I'm just going in paddling. I always talk to people about, is it safe to be here? What is it like? I talk to locals. And it's just that people don't realise, even strong swimmers, even families, And we're all just bursting to get out at the moment, you know, because of the lockdown. Everybody just wants to be out at the beaches, out at swimming pools, out walking. So it's just to be aware of the dangers of water, really. That's why I rang.
Yes, brilliant. And also, as you say, just empathising with the shock and the trauma that having one of those experiences can leave you with.
Yeah, and that poor man, I'm sorry, I've forgotten his name.
Paul.
But Paul, Paul, I didn't realise you were still on the line. Delayed shock is something that can happen, and just be ready for it. And it's a physical thing. I mean, I was, a few hours later, I just physically started shaking with the shock of realising what could have happened. So that's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, Paul, I think you're already almost in that space, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, I woke up at 4:10 this morning and up since, you know. Just couldn't sleep. I had to go downstairs because I was keeping the wife awake. But, yeah, definitely what you said about the panicking thing, because, like, really, like, Julie, when Julie came out to me, she just said, "Ollie, just float. Someone will come for us, just float." Because I was trying to fight the water with that young fella, and all I was doing was burning energy, you know. We weren't getting anywhere, so just a bit of advice for everyone: just float, and as long as someone in the bank knows you're there, someone will come and help you, because you won't last the in time if you fight it and panic, you know.
Yeah, although of course that would be almost everyone's natural response if they suddenly thought it's going out of their control.
Yeah.
Well, stay there with me. I've got Dan on a line here. Dan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, you know Bunmahan well.
Yeah, I'm from County Waters, about 20 miles where I live in. But I used to always go there with a family years ago when I was growing up. But it's riptides there, are leaks. I could go out there up to my knees, and the next step is up to my neck.
Yeah, that's very much now exactly what Paul was describing.
Yeah, that's what happened. Paul, and I'm glad all of them are safe and well.
But, yeah,
I was listening to Double Lord this morning at our local station, and there was two children on those lilos that drifted out, and they had to be saved as well in Bremahan.
This is over this weekend as well?
Yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's Katie yesterday, yeah.
And so, but is there signs? I mean, if the riptides are so well known locally there, and then you have somebody like Paul who says you wouldn't normally be swimming on that beach with his family, like, that's very dangerous. Yeah. That there isn't some signage to let you know about that.
Yeah, well, Bremahan lost their blue flag, you see, last year or whatever, so they can't have a lifeguard on duty. So, like you said, our moor, Tramore, they have blue flags. But they have to wait till the 28th of June, the summer season fully kicks in, before they'll have a lifeguard.
Oh, so that's it, because we were wondering, because Bunman is on the list of beaches that are supposed to have a lifeguard, but that's the story, that they won't get their lifeguard full time for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, and they must have a blue flag. They lost the blue flag, they're trying to get it back, but 28th of June, it all kicks in again.
Right. And did you ever end up in trouble there yourself?
Oh, I did. I went out and I was swept away as well, but I managed to get in. You see, the top part of that Bunman, the beach there, Katie, is lethal. But you go down the bottom, heading down the coast, it's way better. Like, it's better altogether.
Right. Will you stay there with me for 1 second, Dan? Because I've got somebody who I think doesn't have much time on her hands, but wanted to tell us. Helen, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie.
Yeah, your husband has a story to tell about Bunmahan.
Yeah, he nearly drowned when he was 10 years of age in Bunmahan. And ever since, we never, ever... I'd only paddle at Bunmahan. I'd swim anywhere else, but Bunmahan is just dangerous when it comes to riptides. The ground just disappears from under you. That's what happened to him. Now, he's lucky enough to get out that day, but even to this day, if you go and visit Bunmahan, if the kids go down in the water, I've just can't this over. And like, if the weather is, if the sea is churning a bit, it's very dangerous. I just wouldn't swim there. It's lovely to sit on the beach there, but other than that, I wouldn't get into the water, not in Bunmahan.
But Paul was saying that there was loads of people in the water there yesterday when he was there.
Oh, I couldn't. I'd drive past Bunmahan, I'd go to another beach. There's just something about Bunmahan. And, like, the tragedy there, it's probably forced someone local from her husband didn't come home.
Your line is just dropping a little bit, Helen. I think we still have you with the line dropped. Your last point there was...
Someone local in our town.
Yes.
She went there with her husband and he didn't come home that day. It's quite a few years ago now, but it still sticks in our minds.
So he drowned in Bunmahan?
He drowned there.
And obviously your husband's own story... Is this something that has been a big thing in his life, that he almost drowned this time in Bunmahan?
Oh, yes, yeah. Even when we came in and heard you talk about Bunmahan, we didn't know where you were talking about first because we didn't catch the beginning of the programme, but he left the kitchen when he heard it, Bunmahan.
Because all these years on, he's still traumatised by that experience.
Yeah,
you can well imagine it.
I don't think, people who visit Bunmahan, like, we're fairly local. We live 17 miles away. We know about it. But I'd say, people coming from further afield wouldn't know of the dangers.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sort of shocked that there seems to be this local knowledge about riptides and how dangerous it can be on that beach. Mm. And there is no sign, there doesn't appear to be any signage that I've heard about to warn people. I would have thought riptides is something that if it's known about locally, people should know about that.
Everywhere. There should be signs down there warning people.
And as we say, as Dan was telling us, the lifeguard won't be on duty there
until
the end of June. Which is another issue, obviously, when we've got these this lovely weather.
I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't, if I was a lifeguard, that's the last beach I'd want to be a lifeguard on.
Yeah, wouldn't you? You would be
responsibility would be just too much.
Absolutely.
Katie, I've got to go back to work. But that was our experience. And to this day, we would drive past Bun Man and find another beach.
Okay.
There's loads of lovely, safe beaches like Stradbally. I could name out a little, Ballydewan. But none of them are as dangerous as Bun Man.
Right. Okay, Helen, appreciate you taking the time to call in with that. We'll take a break. Dan, stay on the line with us, but we'll take a break now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. Dan, sorry to cut away from you there. You were telling us that you know well, going back years, that Bun Mahon has had this issue.
It's riptides, Katie, yeah. All the beaches down the coast, you have Clannery Strand, Stradbally, Woodstown, Tramore, of course. You could walk out a quarter of a mile out to the beach and sit up to your knees. But Bun Mahon, just walk out and you could be caught up straight away.
And did you mentioned there that there was an incident that you heard on local radio with other children on that beach yesterday.
This morning there was a man on, yeah. He saved a couple of kids on his lilo, on his float. They are actually banned.
I was going to say, I thought we'd ban those from the, because I mean, yeah. On any beach, they're dangerous.
They're all banned, yeah. This chap saved those two as well yesterday, Sunday, he said.
And he was out swimming and these children were drifting off?
Drifting out to sea, yeah.
This time of year, you know, it's so great to get everyone out and into the water and that, but you do hear so many of these stories.
Yeah, that lady was right. I wouldn't like to be a bodyguard down there, or a lifeguard down there.
Yeah, the responsibility you would have.
Yeah. There should be someone there anyway, like, they shouldn't have to wait till the end of the month. Because one life lost is one too many, isn't it, really?
Absolutely, and as we heard there from Helen, there has been tragedy on that beach before, and as she said herself, her own husband, you know, had a near miss when he was 10 years old himself.
Exactly.
I'm going to thank you for that, Dan. I want to bring in Gareth. Gareth, good afternoon to you.
Thanks, Katie. You're welcome.
Thanks, Dan. Gareth.
Hi, Katie. Hello.
You also were involved in a rescue this weekend.
It was in Morris Castle Strand. I was in the water with my 10-year-old and my 3.5-year-old.
Where is Morris Castle?
Morris Castle Strand. It's Kilmuckridge.
All right. Okay.
And the beach was fantastic. The weather was great. There were lifeguards on the beach. We were standing out playing. I was 4 or 5 steps into the sea only, with my 3.5-year-old, and my 10-year-old was further out. I turned around. Just there was no reason to turn around, but I turned around to look back, and about 15 meters onto the beach, I saw this woman with the fear of God in her jump up and start to run, and like there was the fright in her face, you could see. And I just looked down to my, left, and her, I'd say it was about an 18-month-old child, but just was lying in the water, drowning.
Oh my God!
So I literally now, I it was incredible. I just, and you could see by the little fella, right? This was only, I'd say it was about a foot of water, maybe say a foot and a half of water would have been only, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just would have been a little bit over my knees, maybe, kind of thing. So not even a foot and a half. But the little guy was on his back, sinking. Bless him. So I just leaned down and grabbed him and picked him up. And then the mother arrived within, I don't know, maybe 2 seconds, 6 seconds, whatever the time was. It went very quickly. But it's incredible how quickly it can happen anywhere, even with lifeguards. And never mind riptides. It's kids like, when they fall over like that, like, you have to be closer to the beach, you know?
It is seconds.
And, like, the outcome of that could have been very different if we didn't turn around and look. Because we didn't see that little guy. We did not see him, and we were standing right beside him. we were. We didn't see him. We just saw the fear on the woman's face running towards the sea. That was it.
Yeah, so you heard nothing. Nobody else noticed it.
No one else. No, he was beside me. The kid was, I'd say, couldn't have been 2 feet from me. He couldn't have been.
Well, and you didn't. You wouldn't have noticed, as you say, if you didn't see his mother.
But I didn't, Katie. Didn't see him. I didn't see the kid until I saw her, and you could see my God. Yeah, you could see. You know when you see someone's face, you could see there's something happening here. Good God.
And the child, once you plucked him out of the water, was he okay immediately?
He didn't need to be resuscitated, but he was. He was gurgling. He had taken on some water. He had, because he was sinking backwards. So like he was underwater, the child was, and sinking backwards. So, and the fear I had was because like the sea, the Irish Sea, you can't see straight through it. Like obviously, if she had got there 2 seconds later, would she have known exactly where he was? You know, that kind of way, because you couldn't see into.
Of course, yeah.
So it was, you just have to, so you have to be closer to the beach. Like if you have someone, a little fella or a little girl in there that can be, that the slightest of waves can just tip them over, or they can just trip and fall anyway. It doesn't even have to be a wave, you know. You have to be standing beside them.
Yeah, it's so easy though, and I mean, I don't want to be in any way judgmental about anyone. It's so easy to take your eye, you know, get distracted for a minute or half a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in a beach situation, that can be all that it takes. But it can be so, you know, it's just so easy to happen.
And a lifeguard's no good to you at that point because the kid disappears in a second, you know?
Yeah.
They can't keep their eyes on everything. Like, I know my little boy told them in the class in school the following day that we saved someone. But the thing is, though, like, I think she saved them when you think of it, because I didn't see him, you know? But the fear on that woman running down, she should have screamed as well, because then more people would have seen it, you know?
Yeah.
But if we didn't see her, if we didn't see the fear in her face, that outcome would have been different.
Yeah. And how are you yourself after it?
It was funny. I didn't flinch over it, and I tell you why, because I could see she was so panicked, right? I dumbed it right down for her because the mother was so panicked. I was just thinking, oh no, sure, he just tripped, he was fine. So I really made very, very light of it there and then for her. We made really light of it because you could see, like, bless her, she was very upset. So you didn't want to you didn't make any big deal whatsoever of it, right? So we were just, I just said, nah, she just tripped. I didn't see at all what happened, to be honest. I just saw her face and saw him under the water, but I just said, ah, no, he just tripped. He was grand, like, you know.
Yeah. Well done, Gareth, is all I can say to you. You had that you were there. You looked the right way, and
looked the right way. Yeah,
you were in the right place at the right time.
But I will say, for people who are on the beach, though, to be fair, because we thought this little guy, all he did was, to be fair, all he did was just trip.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, Katie, if you're not looking straight at him, you won't even see him trip. So it's not just about riptides. It's the little guys at the front of the beach. You have to be closer to them, you know.
Okay, that's a good another reminder for people as we head into our Irish summer. Gareth, many thanks for that. Nicola, good afternoon.
Hi, Casey. Is Paul still on air?
I think he might have just gone from us.
But
you wanted to say something to him?
I hope he's still listening. There's people all over the country shouting into their TVs and their radios now, praising that man and his family.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, weren't they?
What an incredible... Just from the minute he started speaking, I could nearly feel myself getting palpitations. The description of him, he just dropped everything. He didn't think. He was just straight out there to those children. That was... What an incredible, incredible, brave man.
Well,
fair play to him. And that broke my heart. When he was trying to decide, you know, which child should I save, which child should I go for, that's absolutely horrific. No wonder he was pacing the house at 4:30 this morning. Well done to him and his family. Absolutely brilliant. And obviously, they were meant to be on that beach yesterday. He said that they never usually go there. there's a reason for everything, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, we just got a statement in, Nicola, from Waterford County Council, who are, of course, responsible for providing lifeguards cover on beaches. They say, we're unable to provide a lifeguard service at Bunmahan during June due to the unavailability of sufficiently trained and qualified lifeguards. And then it goes on to explain that lifeguards are recruited by the council, by open competition. It goes into how they're done and that they're recruited as they're young adults looking for summer work. This year, like any other year, approximately 30% of the lifeguards recruited are doing leaving cert exams during June and are unavailable for weekend work for most of June. So it's basically they're saying that they just couldn't get a lifeguard for cover because a lot of the young people who would be normally lifeguards are doing their leaving.
That's kind of a different story, isn't it? That's a different road to venture down. I don't believe that for a minute. There's plenty of young people around the place that would love to do that kind of work.
Yeah, well,
but
we
young and fit and well, that's a completely different.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're absolutely right, Nicola. You wanted to say what a brilliant man Paul was and what a brilliant family that were there. And I just want to say, obviously, this is what Waterford County Council are telling us, so we have to accept what they're saying in relation to that. Julie Fitzpatrick. Good afternoon.
Hi.
You're Julie from the story.
I'm Julie from the story, yeah. I'm Paul's sister-in-law, Julie. And I suppose I would probably tell it slightly differently to Paul, in that myself and Danny were in bother as well. So myself and Danny went out on the body boards. We weren't out very far.
And just to remind people if they didn't hear the start of the programme, Danny is your 10-year-old son.
Danny is my son, yeah, he's 10. He was absolutely brilliant yesterday. He was so calm. He knew exactly what to do. He knew to stay calm and stay on the board. So what happened from our perspective was that we went out for a swim. As I said, we weren't very far from the shore and we were on the boards. And I said to Danny, come on, let's go back in. And Danny was going back in and I thought Danny was in and I realised that I couldn't get back in. And my dad told me later that there was a little girl that he pulled in and Danny was beside him and he turned around and Danny was gone. And I looked, I kind of, you know, floated for a few minutes on the body board. I realised, okay, it's just me. I'm in bother, but I'll be okay because it's just me. Danny's okay. I didn't know anything about the other children at this stage. I didn't know about Paul and Connor. And suddenly I heard Danny shouting for me and I looked around and he was further out. He had been swept further out than me again. And he said to me, Mammy, I have two other children here, Mammy. So he had the two other children on the board, but I didn't know at that stage that Connor was with him. I didn't know Paul was nearby. I didn't know whether anybody on the shore actually knew that we were in trouble. So I was trying to shout to Danny. I couldn't get to him, but I couldn't get in. And I was trying to decide, do I try really hard to get out to Danny and the kids? They're on the board. Or do I try and go and raise the alarm? And I knew if I raised the alarm, that would be more beneficial. So I just shouted. I kept shouting to Danny, just stay on the board, stay on the board. Don't let go. And he, you know, kind of waved. He gave me a thumbs up and I knew he was okay as long as he stayed on the board. And my husband started trying to come out then and I had to shout at him to go back. And I was trying to signal to phone for help. And my dad was shouting and I was trying to just tell them to phone for help. And it was at that stage I looked around and the kids were gone. I think Connor at that stage had managed to push the kids around behind us. And he had those two kids on the board with Danny. And he had managed to push them around behind me and start to bring them in. And it was at that stage that I saw Paul. And Paul was maybe, I don't know, 20 feet away from me and I'll just never forget his head coming up out of the water. He was in a really bad way and he said to me, I don't know exactly the words, but I think he said, Julie, I won't say it on air. But so I don't know how I managed to get to him. I think I swam some of the way and a wave brought him in the rest of the way. And I said to him, just get on the board and just stay calm. Just don't, like I said, the kids are in. The kids are okay. We're okay. You know, we're not going to try and fight it. We're just going to stay on the board. We're okay. Someone will come and rescue us. We're okay. But Connor got those kids in. And my husband came out to meet them, and he tried to drag them in a bit more, and he got into trouble as well, and somebody else had to come out and get them in the rest of the way. But Panner and Paul were just the heroes in that story, to be honest with you. They didn't think twice when they saw those two children that they didn't even know. And they completely put their own lives in jeopardy and went out. And only for we had those boards, it would have been a very different story.
Yeah.
Like Paul, myself, my husband didn't sleep at all last night. We're in a bit of a state today. But you know, it could have been such a different story.
God, I mean, you say Paul and Connor, you all sound pretty heroic from where I'm sitting, Julie. I mean, first of all, Danny, incredible presence of mind for a young lad to you know, to keep it cool and you know what to do there, and then yourself even to be able to kind of talk him through it and keep calm and then go to get Paul. I mean, really, I don't know if there would be many groups of people that would all respond so well in such a really traumatic situation.
Well, look, I don't know. We went there yesterday as a family just to, you know, with the kids to have a day out. We certainly didn't intend to come out of it with anything like that happening. But yeah, Danny was amazing. He was so calm. And I just knew, I'm quite a calm person anyway. I just knew the biggest threat was panic. I just knew if we panicked, we were in bother. So I was just trying to say to Paul, just don't panic, we'll be okay. And, you know, like that other man said a few minutes ago, I was kind of trying to make light of the situation. I said to him, you know, we'll never live this down with my father now. If we're having to be rescued by the Coast Guard, we'll be, you know, hearing about it for the rest of our lives. And he had the ball that he mentioned. And I thought, why are you trying to save the bloody ball? Just get rid of the ball and get on the... I thought he was trying to hold on to the ball because it was his ball. you know, so I was just saying to him, just get on the bloody board and don't worry about the ball. But I don't think it hit us really until today, how traumatic it was and how different it could have been.
And none of you met the parents of these two children that originally were in trouble?
No, I mean, like Paul said, by the time myself and Paul were brought in by those two men were just amazing. By the time myself and Paul were brought in by those two men, everybody was kind of gone and dispersed, and you know, people had moved away. So
yeah, it's really, really terrifying how quickly all that developed and how everybody, you know, one by one could have gotten into trouble.
Yeah.
as they went to save each other.
Yeah, within seconds. And that's why I kept shouting at my husband and my father, don't come out, go back in and call for help, do not come out. And even as that man, and I don't know him, but I'll be thankful to him for the rest of my life, even as that man was coming out to us, I kept shouting at him and said, don't come out, just go back and call for help, because I knew we were okay, we had the board, and that we'd hang on until the Coast Guard got there. I knew we'd be okay because we had the board, but I didn't want anybody else getting into difficulty, because that's what you're happening.
Did you have a name for those two men that
No. No, I don't know their names. It all happened so quick. The man that came out from the beach was a bald man, probably in his 40s, and then there was an older man who was out swimming. He was swimming over and back and must have heard us from behind and came in and kind of pushed us in on the board from behind, and myself and Paul kicked, and the man who would come out from the beach kind of pulled us in.
Well, but anyway, you want him to know that you're hugely grateful.
Hugely grateful, yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, we're hugely grateful to Connor as well, who came in and, like, you know, not only rescued those two children, but he helped Danny in as well. And, you know, it's just dreadful to think what would have happened if they hadn't been there.
And did you send Danny into school this morning?
I did. He wanted to go into
school. To tell everyone.
He wanted to go into school. They had their sports day, so he wanted to go into school. But look, kids are resilient and they bounce back, and you know,
well,
like
he'll
Paul
definitely
said,
have, when they do, they, has anybody got any news in the class on Monday morning? He'll definitely have something to say.
Yeah, surely him and his cousin Mia, who's Paul's daughter, you know, they're best pals, and you know, she was very proud of him. But they will have news. But like Paul said, like, you know, it was a really scary experience. But, you know, we said we're going to go back to the beach next week, a different beach, a quieter beach, where there aren't those riptides, and we're going to get back in the water, but stay at the edge and be safe. And, you know, because I don't want it to kind of scar him for the rest of his life, and that he'll never go back to the beach, you know.
Yeah, that's hugely important, isn't it? That it doesn't become as you say, a kind of a psychological kind of block that this is something that's dangerous to do.
And which it is. I mean, I think you should acknowledge that it is dangerous. And, you know, it is very dangerous. We didn't realise that those riptides were there yesterday. We've been on Bunmahan quite a bit in the past year and a half, but didn't realise that those riptides were there.
Yeah, God, riptides are, they're really, it's a, so terrifying how they can change a day from you know, enjoyment to tragedy in seconds.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Julie, thank you so much for coming in and telling us your, that same story from your side. I mean, honestly, I've huge admiration for all of you for how you all handled that yesterday. You're it's very impressive how you held it all together.
Thanks, Katie. And like, if those two men are listening, just thanks. And there was a third man, I believe, that came out to help my husband as well. And we just, like, you know, can't thank them enough.
Okay, well, if you're out there, you might call in, or if anyone knows who was involved in that, we'd like to hear from you as well. But for now, Julie, many thanks.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And just again, to go back to that statement from Waterford County Council in relation to Bunmahan Beach, they're telling us that a full-time service at Bunmahan Beach will commence as soon as the numbers of trained and qualified lifeguards are available. And it is intended that this service will commence with effect from the 28th of June. So that's Waterford County Council. I want to go to Sheila now. Sheila, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. How are you? I was talking to Rebecca, your researcher there. I have to say, I can't believe how traumatised I am from listening to Paul with an event that happened in my life, a very similar event. It must be about 30 years ago with my two daughters.
Right. Go back. Take us back. Where did it happen?
We were on holiday in my brother's and his wife's house in Lahinch. And I had taken the kids to the beach for the day in Lahinch. And they were great swimmers. They were about 9 and 10 at the time. Mm-hmm. And no bother, they were great in the water. They weren't really out swimming, so to speak. The water was a good bit away from where the rocks are, if you know Lahinch. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting at the rocks reading a book and they watching them, and they were in the water. And they were joined eventually by three older kids. They might have been 13, 14, that kind of age. And suddenly I just got an instinctive feeling that there was something wrong. It just didn't look, nothing looked the same to me. Everything looked different. I can't really explain it. And I walked down the beach towards them and then started running. And by the time I got to the edge of the water, the three teenagers had vanished. One of, I could see a hand coming up out of the water. My two were a little bit closer. I couldn't swim. I was shouting and screaming back to the lifeguard's hut, which was above the rocks. And I walked out as far as I could to try and grab them. I prayed that they would stay together because I didn't know what to do. In my head, I was thinking, don't go apart, stay together. And
why were you saying that?
Because I had this thing in my head, but if I can't reach the two of them, you know, you can't pick somebody, you can't, you know. And I kept screaming at them, stay together, stay together. Now, they had done a life-saving course, and one of them told me afterwards that she had said to the other, keep swimming. She was saying, I can't swim anymore. And the older girl said, keep swimming, you're okay, we'll be okay. She said she saw my T-shirt. I had a very bright coloured T-shirt on me. And she recognised me, she knew I was coming. And they kept coming towards me. I went out up to my neck as far as I possibly could and grabbed them and pulled them back into shore. In the meantime, two lifeguards ran past me and eventually must have gotten to the, I couldn't look with the other kids being taken out. I just couldn't look at what was happening. Got our kids back up to where we had been at the rocks, and everybody was milling around. It was in the time when people brought their, I don't know what they brought, their kettle or something to the beach with them, their teapot, their thermos, because people were making cups of tea and giving me biscuits to stop the shock, etc., etc. And the girls were very traumatised by it, as was I. I mean, I didn't, I, didn't realise how bad, and I hope it's not the same for everybody involved in that awful incident yesterday, but I have never been able to look at the sea in the same way. I've never been able to watch any of my family in swimming. I can't do it.
Really?
No.
And were you a swimmer back then?
No, I couldn't. I could, you know, I could swim maybe across a swimming pool with my head up out of the water. You know, one of those kind of swimmers who I can't get my head wet, my face wet.
You were able to walk in as far as your neck, and that was enough.
That was enough, just about enough to shout encouragement, keep them coming, keep them coming. But what had happened was very similar. There was a riptide. The sands had shifted, was how they put it at the time. The kids were well in within their depth, and all of a sudden, they were out of their depth, and they couldn't reach the sand underneath them. The other three were actually taken to hospital, I found out later. It was funny, a similar way to this, in that I rang the Pat Kenny Show because I was so concerned about other people possibly getting into this kind of danger. And when I did, the mother of the other three rang Pat after me and said that, you know, she was kind of saying, if it wasn't for me screaming at the lifeguards, nobody would have noticed what was happening. And she was very grateful for what had happened. Now, I think I've only gotten worse in the years since then, to tell you the truth. I can't look at my grandkids in the water. I'm always kind of on alert, high alert on the beach.
That sounds like post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, I'd have my head in a book, but I'm sneaking looks all the time to see where's A, B or C, where are they now?
And that idea, because I think Paul's story, the line that hit me, and I know it hit other listeners in the same way, was the idea that he was going to have to pick which child to save.
Exactly.
And these were not his own children. These were total strangers to him.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, it is Sophie's choice. It is literally that.
Totally. That if you can reach one and you can't reach, I mean, you couldn't live with that. You couldn't live with it.
You actually were thinking that as you were running into the water.
I was, yeah. And I kept saying, stay together. And they're great friends still. You know, there's only a year between them, and they're the best of friends and the best of daughters.
And do they retain trauma from that experience?
Yes. One of them sleeps sometimes still in the T-shirt I wore.
Oh, my God.
On the day, yeah. Now, she's a great swimmer. And her kids go into the water. They're all, you know, she hasn't passed it on through the generations or anything. But she still wears that T-shirt. Sometimes it gives her great comfort.
That is extraordinary. I mean, did you ever get counselling as a family, or I suppose we're thinking 30 years ago, who was getting counselling?
Not at all. I mean, I remember the feeling afterwards of, I remember driving back to my brother's house in Milltown Malbay from the beach, and it was an old rickety Mars Traveller that we had, and I had the kids in it, and I had my brother's two smaller children, and one of my sons who, you know, wasn't really involved in the incident at all. But I stopped for hitchhikers at the time. They were German people. And I stopped to kind of say, do you need a lift? And they looked into the car and thought, are you joking me? The car is fairly full as it is. What are you thinking? But I just needed to make some sort of contact with people, if you know what I mean. I think looking back, it was that thing of trying to be normal, trying to act as if this was a normal day.
God.
And when I got back to the house, I remember thinking, nobody can possibly understand what just happened. You know, it's not, you tell a little story about, oh God, we were very lucky. But nobody really knows what you're on about, because they didn't experience the feelings of it. And how close it all had been. What a narrow escape that had been.
Yeah, I mean, well, what you had been through was you faced the very worst fear any parent could ever face.
Sure.
And came within seconds of it happening in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and I think what we don't realise in Ireland is how many families experience that every year. I mean, no matter who you talk to, Katie, almost everybody has a near-drowning story. So either from the time they were kids themselves out on the beach in Sutton, or, you know, in Dollymount, there was a big thing when I was a kid. My father wouldn't let us go into a particular place in Dollymount called Curly's Hole. It was supposed to be an eddy. What do you call those? Whirlpool area in Dollymount. Nobody talks about it anymore. Hope to God it's gone now with all the year-long swimmers around. But I think everybody has those kind of stories about, you know, oh, I remember a time when we were out with our neighbours and we, you know.
Will you stay there, Sheila? Because I actually have somebody in exact saying exactly that. Sean, good afternoon to you.
Hello. Good afternoon, Katie. Just a very brief story. I mean, I'm now an old man in my 70s, and I have a most scary memory of being a teenager on holidays with cousins in Enniscrone, County Sligo. Now, Enniscrone, County Sligo is a long, beautiful beach.
Oh, it's a beautiful beach, yes. Yeah. One of the nicest in the country, yeah.
But the thing is, I have no reason to suggest it's dangerous or anything like that, but I found my younger little cousins had an inflatable bed, and I took it on my own and went out into the waves and was floating on it. And I floated out quite a good bit, and I panicked and jumped off it and found myself up to my ears, up to my neck and up to my ears in the waves. Now, I was lucky in that I managed to wade back to the beach. But
you couldn't swim, could you?
Very little. I've learnt a few strokes since, but then I couldn't. But now the inflatable bed was swept out to sea. And this caused considerable panic on the shore because quite a number of people felt that there must be somebody on it. And I had to assure people that there wasn't, that it had been, as it were, the one I was on. But I was so scared that I didn't venture into the sea for about 5 years afterwards.
Wow, yeah.
And I survived okay, thank God. But the memory of it still frightens me.
Yeah, now, Sheila, that's exactly what you were saying.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, if I get my face wet, we go away usually on holidays. We might be in Spain for a little bit in the summer. And, you know, my kids will say to me, you just have to dive into the wave. Don't stand and let it splash over you. Dive into the wave. I cannot do that. There's absolutely no way I will let a wave near me. Do you know, I lose all sense of self-control when I'm in the water. I can't let my face get wet in case I just can't breathe when the water is near me. Yeah. And I used to be fine before that. I mean, I wasn't ever going to be an Olympic swimmer, but I was not afraid of the water. But I have I think it's quite a healthy, it's maybe an unhealthy fear of the water. I'm not sure which it is. But it's not something that you would wish on anybody to see, even to be a bystander at an event like that, where you've got no control over what's going on, particularly around the people that you love.
Yeah, yeah. And we're getting so many more calls in about this. I think, Sheila, you might be right that so many people have their near-drowning experience stories. Will you stay with us? I need to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Aoife Brady, good afternoon to you. Do we have Aoife on the line?
Sorry, yeah, I was on mute there. Sorry.
Sorry. Thanks, Aoife. Aoife, you're one of the men that Julie was telling us about, that she was shouting at you, don't come in to try and help us on Bunmahan Strand yesterday.
Yeah, I'm the ball guy that was swimming out.
Did you recognise yourself from her description?
Yeah, it was actually funny. I was just talking to a friend this morning and he happened to be listening to the radio. I was just coming back in off my lunch and he told me to listen in. It was just the way she was talking. It was the pink football, Paul, because remember she was talking to Paul. And then, yeah, that there was a ball guy swimming in from the shore that she was telling that to. So that's my friend encouraged me to ring in. I wasn't going to, but I said I may as well.
So tell us, what did you see from your perspective when you were on the beach?
Yeah, so I was just sitting up with my wife and a couple of friends. They were down at the shoreline with the kids. And
I'm going to ask you, sorry for a second, Aoife, if you can talk directly because you're kind of going in and out of coverage. I don't know how you're holding the phone or what you're...
Apologies, yeah, no, it's probably just where I live.
Okay, grand, okay, it's good there now, so...
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, you were on the beach with your wife?
Yeah, and some friends, and I just, my wife and kids were at the shoreline, but a girl, there was a group next to us, and a young girl came up, and she was kind of screaming. So the mother or grandmother, not sure, ran over, and I just looked up down the shore, and I noticed there was a bit of a commotion. So I just kind of walked down to the shore to see what was happening. So when I walked into the water, I saw the three kids first on the board, and there was a guy, I think, pushing behind them. So I ran over and I just grabbed a hold of the board, and I just started telling the kids to kick, and I brought them in so far. And then from what I thought, I handed them to somebody else. And then when I kind of looked to the side, they seemed to be okay. So that's when I went off and I saw Julie and Paul, is it?
Paul, yeah.
Kind of got further out, and she was telling me not to come in, and, you know, I couldn't just leave them there. Like, so I went out, and the two of them were holding on to the bodyboard. So I grabbed the bodyboard, and just that, I don't know if it was a good timing or did he see it as well, but there was a guy who was kind of swimming, kind of laps up and down the beach. He came over at the same time, so I held on to Paul. He was on the side swimming forward. The two guys were kicking their legs, and we just eventually just got into shore.
And did you realise at that stage how serious the incident could have been?
Yeah, but see, I didn't see the start of it. I didn't see why they were in the water. I didn't know that, I presume the three kids on the first bodyboard were all of the same family. I didn't understand the dynamics of what was happening. But yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd never swam on Bunman Beach before. I'm a strong swimmer on that, but I'd never been on that particular beach before. And I wasn't sure of the severity of it, if I'm honest. It only kind of twigged, just as I missed Paul speaking earlier. Just from Julie there, I only really twigged how, I suppose, dangerous it could have been.
And how scared they were, and how grateful they were to you, Ian.
Yeah, well, there was two of us. It wasn't just me. There was the other guy as well. He might have been a bit older than me. So between the two of us and them two, everyone, we got into shore safely, which was good.
And when Julie was shouting at you, don't come, call for help, did you have any kind of moment of thought saying maybe this mightn't be the best idea?
Well, no, I wasn't going to leave them there. It was my thoughts on it, because I think there was other people on the shore kind of saying the same thing maybe. I was a lifeguard when I was younger, up until my early 20s and stuff.
That's important, isn't it?
I just said, look, I'd be able to do this. And I know, once, Julie was saying she was a strong swimmer. So when I was swimming out, so I said, well, that's okay. Then she'd be able to kick her legs, and she knows how to swim. So she'd be able, it won't just be me pulling them in. I'm only thinking of this after the fact. I didn't really think, to be honest, when I was there. I just sort of went and did it.
But do you think that because you had been a lifeguard as when you were younger, that, kind of an instinct kicked in there for you?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I was never a beach lifeguard. I was only a swimming pool. But yeah, I don't know. To be honest, it just happened. I didn't really have a lot of time to think. I think the only thing that I didn't realise was when I handed over the children, I didn't realise they got into difficulty again, which I think I heard. I'm not really sure, but So I kind of maybe I don't know. Could have handled that a bit better. I don't know. But everybody's safe and sound. And, again, it was the gentleman who was obviously used to swimming there. He was talking about the riptides, and he was saying that they are dangerous in that part of the water. It's over on the right hand side. But like I said, I'd never been there, so I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, and is there any life buoys at beaches? I'm conscious that the Waterford County Council are telling us that they just don't have enough qualified lifeguards to go around, and that they won't have a lifeguard there until the end of the month.
I wasn't looking, to be honest.
Yeah, you didn't see. But as you say, you weren't looking. You were. You had other things on your mind, namely going into these people. But and at the end of it, when you brought in Julie and Paul, they were they very traumatised at that stage, or was everyone just so relieved to get back to shore?
Yeah, I think everybody was just kind of relieved, and no one really knew what to do. Paul was a bit kind of quiet. I sort of grabbed him by the arm, and the four of us kind of walked in. And the guy who helped us, he went back, continued to swimming up and down the sea.
Right.
Maybe he does this on a regular basis. I don't know. But yeah, we just kind of went to shore. My wife was there. My daughter was there. I kind of just went back up and I sat down for a while, and it was a bit shaky. We'll say, kind of heart was pumping a bit, and kind of went for a walk up and down the beach after that. And so it was. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's a strange experience, but look, everyone's safe and sound. And I suppose back to what other people are saying is, you have to be careful on beaches and kind of try to understand you know, how the currents are and what's where. But the majority of us don't know, because like that, it was my first time in that beach yesterday. So
yeah, as you say, particularly on beaches that you don't know, that's there can be these currents that can take you unawares.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those coves as well can be, I suppose, a little bit dangerous. But you know, it still shouldn't take away from the enjoyment of people going to the beach. But I think people just need to be a little bit careful. And those, the likes of those Lilos, and like afterwards, I saw a guy in a rubber ring, and he was out and out, and I was just kept staring at him because I was just going, "That's not a good idea."
No, you know, that is never a good idea. Let's keep those for the swimming pool if you want to mess around with a Lilo or a rubber ring.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Ian, listen, thank you so much. And I know Julie will want me to thank you on all of their behalves, because it was lucky for all of them that you were on the beach in Bonmahan yesterday.
Yeah, well, look, everyone's safe and sound. There's a happy ending to the story, so it's good.
Okay, thanks, Ian. We'll take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, we have another extra line in a statement from Waterford City County Council. City and County Council, I should say. They're telling us that, yes, I was asking Aina there if he saw any ring boys. There are boys available on the beach, we're told, that they are checked regularly by area engineers and lifeguards when lifeguards are present. They say there is also two large signs at either end of the beach at the entrance to the slip, informing people of the dangers of rip currents, because we were asking as well, was there signage? And the people we were talking to hadn't noticed those signs, but Waterford County Council telling us that there are two large signs warning about rip currents on that beach. Eileen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. You had an ear-drowning experience as well.
Yes, it was 2 or 3 years ago on a little beach that I have frequented my whole life. I'm 60 now, and it was the place my father brought us as children. A very safe little stony cove between Port Marnock and Malahide. It's known as Low Rock. And I was there swimming. I went there with a friend one day in September a couple of years ago. And there was a particularly high tide that day. I think they're known as spring tides, even though they happen in autumn. And we were sort of doubtful about getting in, but there were a good few people in swimming. It's like a natural little stony cove, and the people were out swimming beyond the cove. You can swim out to buoys there, and you do get a lot of very strong swimmers swimming there, people who do sea races and Liffey swims and all of that, you know. There are a couple of clubs who train there, but myself and my friend are not in that category. We're just sort of ordinary swimmers, but we'd swim throughout the year a bit. And anyway, that day we did decide to get in, and we stayed within the little cove, and we were sort of swept towards the mouth of the cove, and we were over rocks, and we were swimming away. And I suddenly realised in a very undramatic way that I was getting really tired and that I wasn't getting anywhere. I was swimming but going nowhere. And I continued that for a couple of minutes, and I looked over at my friend. I could see she was very pale and kind of guessed she was in the same situation. But what really struck me was that there was no dramatics at all. There was no shouting. I couldn't even speak to my friend to tell her what I decided to do. And what I decided to do was the next wave that came in, I was going to duck down and get a toehold on the rocks and launch into that wave and try and get on. It's a tiny little cove now. I'm talking about 15 feet to the shore. And I did manage to do that. I managed to launch into the wave and get to the shore. And now it was hard to get out. The water was sucking you back. The stones were boiling, you know, that way.
Yeah.
Well, I got onto the beach, and there was a life ring there. And I was so exhausted, I couldn't speak or anything. So I managed to get over to the life ring, pick it off the wall and bring it to some people who were only a few feet away changing. There was kind of a high wind too, and it was noisy from the sea and the wind. So I just showed them the ring and got their attention and pointed out and said, my friend is in trouble. And like 3 or 4 men who were like really amazing sea swimmers got back in and brought the life buoy. And another guy who was out way beyond them came in, and it took like four of them to get my friend off that. It was a current that you just couldn't get out of.
I'm so sorry, Eileen. We are like way over time. I want to hear the rest of it, but I'm so glad that you got out and your friend escaped.
Yeah.
But it has, I'm sure, left a mark.
Yeah, we still swim, but, you know, it's just
it's not something you'd forget, yeah. It's not something you'd forget.
And if you think it's dangerous, just don't get in. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. I'm so sorry to cut across you and cut you short, but I am way over.